Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, family. What's the word? We are celebrating our anniversary this week. Now, it was actually last week. However, the gravity of the show last week didn't give space for the foolishness of a celebration. So, that wasn't the right time. And as we all know, everything happens in its time and in its space. So we are now 6 years in, and people ask me constantly, how long you been doing it again? What show are you talking about? Like, really, motherfucker? Like, this is some shit that I talk about at every turn, damn near every day. No, actually, every day. I talk about it every day. From every angle possible. But, you know, we all have our own things going on. So we grow and grow and grow like we do, naturally. And ain't nothing wrong with that. So it was
We certainly growing, brother. I just want to tell you, I personally have had some conversations on this phone with the people who are calling in, that I was not the same person after we got done with the show that I was before. I mean, even listening to Grandma a couple of weeks ago, I called her Grandma, I'm sorry, that was talking about luring her husband out to the park to have sex. I'm not the same after that. You know, those kind of thoughts, those kind of ideas put in people's head, you can't go back, you know. So, yeah, growth. I have to remember you said that. That's what this show is truly about, not just edutainment, as they call it, but what does growth look like to other people? What is that growth, you know? How can we grow based on the stresses of other people?
So speaking to that, and good morning, Rashi. I was going to, you know, do my formal introduction and bring you in. So I'm sitting at food. I can't call it dinner. I can't call it breakfast. It was just fucking food last night with my sister Mika. And she says, yo, what's that lady name that's on your show all the time? And I was like, Rashi? She's like, yeah, 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 I love her. Like, why do you love Rashi so much? Because she be checking your ass. I was like, yo, for real? That's what this is about? Yeah, she be checking your ass. I love that shit. I'd be like, get him. Like, okay. You do know that you my sister. Like, I don't give a fuck. I like her. I was like, okay, yeah, you my sister. So that's what that was about. We came down last night. Milt, Tanya, and I came down last night to celebrate our nephew. He's a senior in high school. He had a football game last night down here in the Hampton Roads area of Virginia. So we all came down last night. They're going to stay for the weekend. I'm rolling out today. I'm out of here like a dowdy. And let me tell you, first off, they got their asses whipped. And they really didn't get their asses whipped. Let me back off of that. So the final score of the game was 26-24. The opposing team had a female kicker who was phenomenal. That girl is good. You hear me? They got her from the soccer team, and she did her thing. Actually, she stopped. She prevented two run-back touchdowns as well. She tackled the punt returner twice. Yeah, that was quite embarrassing because she leveled his ass out the first time, and she got him by the shoestrings the second time. But yeah, okay, so we're down here in Suffolk, Virginia, Suffolk Chesapeake, right? And the high school that they played against is in Chesapeake, Virginia. So, you know, Milton's running down the differences in the high schools back in the day and the black schools and the white schools. And I'm like, I don't remember no shit like that. Like, I didn't grow up in no shit like that. So, you know, he's just giving a whole history lesson and whatnot. And there were a lot of calls that went against my nephew's school last night. And it was 20-1. That's what my nephew said the score of the game was, 20-1. They got 20 penalties. The winning team got one penalty. So that's how that whole thing shook out last night. But, it was ridiculous. Some of the calls were spot on. Others were hellaciously questionable. They made a call against the home team, then they shifted the call against my nephew's team. Same call. The original call was against the home team, then they shifted it against the visiting team. It was just ugly. It was ugly. No fights or nothing like that. No, nothing like that. I'm just talking about just a totally non-well officiated game. Totally. It was just ugly. But they came back. I mean, seriously, because they were down two touchdowns, and they came back rather quickly and whatnot. And, they lost at the end by 2 points. So, you know, keep your heads up high, keep pressing. But I didn't want to stay at the house last night. I was like, yo, I'm not feeling that because I had to do the show. And, you know, sometimes the language is a little heavy. I ain't with mom, he and all that going on. So I was like, yeah, no, we ain't doing that. So I checked into the Best Western. Yo, the Best Western lost power. They got it back a couple hours before I showed up this morning. This morning, all this I'm about to say happened this morning. So I show up, you know, reservation, credit card, ID in hand, ready to go. The lady gives me the room. I get to the room. I open the door, and I'm like, is somebody in this room? That's how fucked up the room was. So I go back down. So it's like, okay, y'all, bro, I'm tired. I don't have time. Like, is there another room? Yeah. She's like, no, I'm completely sold out. I said, okay, well, let me go further into the room. Because all that I did was open up the door. Let me go further into the room. Let me figure out what's going on. Walked in the room. One of the beds was made. The other one wasn't. The pillows were tossed. There was a shirt on the bed. The tub had wet towels on it. Hold on.
What?
Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, yo, that room wasn't even clean. And she was like, oh, my God. I just got – because it was a change of shift. So, she, you know, she's like, I just recently got here. I asked you before I took over, like we always do, is everything up to par? I was told everything was up to par, and it wasn't. So I shifted my reservation to Virginia Beach. So I'm actually at the Best Western on the beach. Beautiful ocean view and whatnot, chilling, doing my thing. So but I didn't get here till about 3:45 this morning, I think, some shit like that, because of all the back and forth, got on the phone, reservations, yada, yada, yada. So I asked these jokers, yo, can I get a late checkout? They were like, hey, you know, we can do noon. I was like, yeah, that ain't gonna work. That ain't gonna work. Show doesn't end until 1, so fuck them. I'm gonna stay as long as I want, and it is what it is. But yeah, it crazy. I had a crazy ass morning. You know what I'm saying? So that's just the hotel bit. So after the game, you know, I'm starving like Marvin because I really didn't eat on the drive. You drive down and nothing like that. I'm like, yo, you know, we'll get something to eat after the game. We'll trip out, blah, 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 blah. So we do that. You know, we finally get home and, you know, everyone gets cleaned up and stuff because, you know, my nephew just got finished playing football, so he needed to shower and all that type of jazz. So we wait for him. We you know, Nazi up and we go to Applebee's. And I'm like, yo, first and foremost, your boy don't eat at Applebee's. And my brother's like, yo, we going to, I'm like, yo, let's not do Applebee's. The only reason people go to Applebee's is for the drinks. The food sucks. Nah, son, we going to, okay, you know what? You my big brother. Okay, we wrong. So we get to Applebee's. The service sucked. It really sucked. My brother ordered a drink. My sister-in-law had a drink. My sister had a drink. The drinks were whack. It was a whole bunch of ice and a trickle of liquor, and that was it. So, yeah, you know, he made a joke about it. The young lady took it rough. He came back with another joke about, yo, no, I'm good. I don't want nobody spitting in my drink. She really went overboard with that one. He was like, yo, I'm just joking. Everything's good. You know, we just want some food. We out. It was ugly. So her manager came over. Wait, my sister blew up at
the server decided to argue with the customer because they were unsatisfied about the strength or the quality of the food. So instead of trying to fix, she decided to become combative. Okay.
Right. She raised up. She didn't go all the way overboard, but she did raise up enough to where it elevated my sister's attitude, whom was already pissed because my nephew got his ass whipped in football that night. So, you know, it wasn't a good look anywhere around. And it just got worse. So we left there, went to another spot. Everything was lovely. We tripped out. You know, when hanging out with Milton, with my brother Milton, if you ever get to meet Milton, You got to find out what group Milton is in. I told him this last night. I was like, yo, every time I tell someone about you, I tell them, you got to figure out what group Milton is in, then just ride that rail. Because Milton is hilarious. He's hilarious as shit. So you got to figure out how hard you can laugh before you piss on yourself. And that's the group that you want to get in. Because once he get going, oh, ain't no stopping. There's no stop. There's no filter. There's no stopping. He's not ignorant. He's not going to get, you know, loud and shit like that. But he'll talk about your ass as you walking away. You know what I'm saying? To save not his face, but your face. And he will have you literally rolling on the ground from laughing at his ass. Because when he get going, it's over. It's a wrap. It's straight up a wrap. So, you know, we sitting at the table last night just going back and forth about this, that, and the third. So these mugs are trying to convince me to go to the Baltimore Ravens versus, you know, that team in Pittsburgh game. And I'm like, yeah, that ain't going to happen. Two reasons. First off, fuck all y'all. Y'all still are fans. Secondly, I'm not supporting the NFL. Like, no. But yo, I ain't going to that shit. You know, that's not what I'm doing. But yo, I'm saying, you know, we gonna get some seats, we gonna get some groups. We got it right now. StubHub, we got the 7 seats. Yo, just come on in, bro. You know, so I'm like, nah, I'm good. Well, I told nephew I was gonna take it to a game. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, we gonna come in. Tony's flying in early that day. We gonna blah, blah, blah. Nah. Nah. And this was milk. This wasn't nobody. This was milk. You know what I'm saying? Fuck you mean you ain't coming? You going. I ain't going. All right, whatever. Like, okay, whatever, dog. Man, look, I love my folks. Do you understand me? Seriously. I straight up love my folks. We have such a great time when we're together. And it's such an easy time when we're together. Dan, friend of the show, he called me right before the show started because today is his birthday. Shout out to Dan. Dan the man, Ringo. AKA Lucky Lefty. He's celebrating his 45th birthday today with his beautiful wife. They're doing their thing, so on and so forth. I tried to get him yesterday before he got tied up in family and friends, and he wasn't able to get back to me until today, so he called. He's like, y'all have a great show. I wanted to get back to you before you started, you know what I'm saying, about the buzz. I appreciate that. But yeah, man, just it's family and friends are a beautiful thing when you're clicking. You know, when that clicking is happening, that is a powerful force. When you have a group of people together that are like-minded, they not single-minded, but like-minded, and they don't have an issue with lifting up one another and taking care of one another, it is really a beautiful thing. You know, it really is, man, and it makes me sad for those whom don't know such, because I consider myself a very lucky man. I really do.
You truly are.
I really, really do.
You
truly
are.
To have so many people. I appreciate that. To have so many people love me and hold me down when sometimes I don't even feel like I should be held down, you know? And that's real talk. You know, yeah. I mean, you know, it was a conversation about staying at the house last night, and I was like, no, dog, you know, I really need to have the freedom to do what I do, and I just don't. It's not that I don't have the freedom. I wouldn't feel comfortable doing what I do at the house. You know what I'm saying? It's like, nah, I'm good. So, yeah, it's a tax write off. So. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, you know what I mean? Like, I'm good. I'm straight up good. And, you know, it's beautiful to just be in that position. You know what I mean? And, yeah. Yeah.
That is actually, it's interesting you should mention being able to uplift your family. Because one of the most disturbing things I saw when my family gets together is that we play the dozens far, far, far too much.
Too much.
And I mean, it's funny because,
well,
you know, and we're good
hold
at
on,
it.
Hold on.
What I'm saying
hold
is
on.
Nobody else can
hear
my family now.
Everybody don't know what the dozens is, so help some folks understand.
Oh,
you know,
well, we jokingly mock each other. We make jokes about each other's weaknesses and whatever. Names,
mm-hmm.
body shape, hair types. We make jokes
mm-hmm.
about it, you know, until I guess we can get the first person angry enough to break, and then the game is over.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we've been doing it so long that we can go hours before somebody say, man, keep such and such and such out your mouth or something, you know, where instead of coming back with another Jones, they'd be like, man, shut up, man. You're getting on my nerves. And then we know.
Right.
But 1 year, I said, you know what? I ain't saying nothing but positive stuff. And they don't play the game with me anymore. Because even though I know some very cruel things to say, I start coming back at them with, you know what? I ain't never been as safe as when y'all walk me to the store. I love walking to the store with my cousins. Y'all make me feel safe. And that ain't no Jones.
Mm. Not at all.
And so they get
Not
tired. People get tired. And so I appreciate a family that says, girl, I love that hair. Hey, girl, I see your stomach. Uh-oh, work it out. Hey, bro, I saw you the other day. Work, you know, whatever the encouragement is. I look forward to it because I grew up in a Jonesing family, and it's love, but it's that love like, you know, like parents, I'm going to whoop you before the world whoop you type love. And it can get tiring. So when you say that you have the optimal family dynamic and that it helps you, it encourages you, it supports you, it, you know, it helps you grow. It's not on your team 100 no matter what you're doing wrong. There is a checks and balance system. You know, that is, in fact, what some people say is the meaning of life, to forge and grow a harmonious bond with, if nothing else, the people who share your blood.
Well, let's be clear with that, too, because as I've said a million and one times on the show, you know, family isn't always those who share your DNA. You know, family are those whom you bring into your life and you allow in your life, whom share your dream. You know what I'm saying? And that family is just as important to me as those whom share my DNA. Hell, in many instances, it's more important, you know, depending on whom they are, to be honest with you. Because some of the motherfuckers I'm related to, that motherfucker is crazy. I just look at their ass and be like, oh, hell no. Where did we go wrong with you? Seriously. Seriously, where the hell we go wrong with you? I mean, I got one cousin whom is on the run house-wise every couple of months, maybe year and a half, whatever, has not paid one lick of mortgage or rent in years. Finds people to break into abandoned homes. They turn on the electricity, and she lives there. Yeah, we don't do no shit like that. That's not my family. My family don't do no shit like that. We ain't never done no shit like that. But
that actually sounds kind of smart to me. Am I going off of a weird? I think I'm veering off to some weird place in society, because I'm like, now that a house was just sitting there empty, right?
You're sitting
but
there
now
empty.
She is using it for its intended purpose.
Right,
but no, you're right. I'm sorry.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, look, I'm hood now. Shit, please understand and believe me. I'm hood as hell. But come on, dog. And you got kids. What are you passing on to them? What are you showing them? But it brings me to something I wanted to get into before our guests come on. We're going to be joined by the Honorable Don Stella Wilson and friend of the show, pain in my ass, Angela Jeter, a little later. Look, we know one another. We've known one another, shit, 24 years. I can say shit like that. I saw this young lady just yesterday cuss this guy out at an auto shop. And I mean just straight cuss this guy out. And I'm looking at that situation and I'm thinking to myself, would you do that to your father? Then I thought to myself, who is your father? Do you know your father? Is your father active in your life? Because if he is and you do that, then I question him as to what the hell did you do to your daughter or did not do to your daughter? Because there's no way, no matter how upset she is, she should be acting like that in public towards a man. She should have, if she was that upset, called you and had you come up there and get at that man like that. Because that's not what women do. It's not, women don't cuss on men.
I'm having a problem with your limited range of behaviors that you have for acceptable behavior for women. I'm going to need you to allow women to do whatever humans do on the planet. I'm going to need you to not whittle women's behavior down to what will or will not offend or is not acceptable to the male population. We just have to have more life than that. There has to be more to life than women doing what men think is acceptable.
Excuse you, men don't hit women. So you need me to have more life than that to allow men just to hit women because he's angry?
In reality, what I'm asking you is to allow women to be able to be hit. Don't truncate our lives. Don't make our lives limited.
So do you want me to have more space for men just to hit women when they're angry?
If men are prepared to get hit back.
Okay, so it's acceptable behavior. You're stating, I want to get this clear. So it's acceptable behavior if a man is angry with a woman for him to hit her.
It's not acceptable for any human to hit human.
It's not acceptable for any human to hit any human. Okay. Okay. Don't bitch out the question now. The question is simple. The question is simple and the question is plain. Is it acceptable for a man, when he's angry, to then hit a woman? Yes or no? Ain't no middle. There's no gray. It's yes or no.
No.
That it's not acceptable for any woman to disrespect a man. It's
wait
the
a
same
minute.
Thing.
Wait a minute.
She's
wait
barraging.
A minute.
Hold on. Let me finish my point. She's barraging him with her words, just like he would barrage her with his fist. It is the same thing.
No,
the same thing.
No, no.
The hit is the same. The hit is the same.
He's saying that I'm going to burn you with a coat hanger. It's not the same as warming up and heating up a coat hanger and laying it on your flesh. Even the law draws a line between
action. We're not talking about you saying, oh, I'm going to warm up a coat hanger and burn you with it. We're talking about you bitch-ass motherfucker. About that. That's what I'm talking about.
There are no words that make you. There are no words. There are no words that should make you jump into retaliatory action. And I'm just saying this as a person who didn't fail to that. I have been hurt enough to push a human down a flight of steps. But in the middle of them steps, I was instantly remorseful.
It wasn't it was in the middle of the steps. It wasn't instant if it was the middle of the steps. It was instant if the first step. You was like, oh, damn.
It's really hard. The middle of the steps came pretty fast. What I'm saying is, I was not prepared for the consequences of my behavior. And so, and what I'm saying is, please be careful when you say things like, she was mouthing off, that's why she got hit. Or she wasn't behaving within the acceptable parameters of what women are supposed to do, that's why she got treated that way. It just don't work like that.
Okay.
You get treated a certain way based on the desires of the person who wants to find somebody to treat somebody a certain way. They don't care.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not nothing, you know, that's the first thing a psychologist or a therapist will tell you. Your part is being in that place because you always get the option to leave a shitty situation. Most of the time, there's a few seconds there, a minute or two, where you can leave. But if you decide to stay and tough it out because you want to see it to the end, you have a choice. You have a choice between how far in you going to go. One of the things is nobody's verbiage can make you do anything. I mean, nobody's words can do it.
Let me tell you something. You talk about my mama too much in the wrong way. You talk about one of my kids too much in the wrong way. And I tell you out of my mouth, not mouth, but mouth, watch what you say. That's warning number one. You continue to go, and I tell you again, yo, you pushing. That's warning number two. You ain't getting warning number three. Now, I told your ass about 10 minutes ago, I'm hood. Don't let the shirt and shoes fool you. I'm hood. If I warned you twice and you keep pushing it, I'm going to whip your ass.
My mother was a member of that club.
It may not be in your circle that no one's words can make you whip somebody's ass, but I didn't whip the motherfucker's ass and talk to you goddamn much. Yeah, as we transition out of that.
See, well, I just want to let you know, you will find yourself in a situation where somebody is berating. They wearing your ass out. They wearing something you love out. They do, but they are just physically too big, or they got the gun, or they got the knife. They have the power, and they wearing you out. And the coping mechanisms you use to deal with those who have more power and strength than you, that's what you should have been doing anyway, because you ain't finna jump that.
The coping mechanism I use for people like that is time, because I'm going to catch your ass when you don't have that power and the playing field is even, and I'm still going to whip your ass. I done it many a day. I am a patient individual. I will take an ass whipping and come back later and whip your ass. Just to remind you, I ain't no walkthrough. I've done that too. I've done that. I've taken ass whippings. Okay, you got me today. I'll get you again later. I'm very patient. Very patient. How the hell you think I deal with you every Saturday? I love you. you thought it was nothing in this cup of water? Nah, I'm just messing. You know I don't drink. You know I don't drink no more after 7 a.m. And Sister Wilson is like, what did I just walk myself into?
Hello.
Good morning. I want to make sure I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Is it Doncella?
That's correct.
Oh, look at here. Now, we did not bring you on as the token, though you are the token on the city council, which you own. Look, Rashi, this sister here, I got to applaud her. First off, she's elected to the city council on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. The Eastern Shore of Maryland is where Harriet Tubman was born and ran away from as an enslaved.
Oh.
So she, yes, Lord. Now, it's four members. The council is four members, correct?
Our council is five members.
Five members. I'm sorry. I missed somebody in my count. I apologize. The five-member council, and Don Stella is one of the members. Now, you were recently elected, correct? Because your term ends in 2022, if memory serves me correctly, correct?
Yes, correct. I was recently elected last November 2017, and the term began January 2018.
Okay.
Hey.
See, I do my research. You thought I didn't do my research. Now, she got some letters behind her name, and I'm like, what the hell is all these letters for? I thought she was trying to spell something at Scrabble, so I'm playing with them like I'm on the Soul Train board, like, what the hell they mean? I'm like, that don't mean nothing to me. Was it South by Southwest? Oh, no, no, it's too many letters. I'm confused. Ain't no vowels. I'm like, how you going to spell a word you ain't got no vowels? You know what I'm talking about? So you are a licensed what? Medical?
I am a licensed master social worker, and the state of Maryland just changed our licensure acronym this last year. So those initials stand for now that I'm a licensed master of social work.
So you're a master now. So you really have
So what that means, I've received a master's degree and I've set for a clinical license examination. So I can do therapy. I can work in with kids in foster care and pretty much social workers. We can work in a vast array of things. We can work with the military. We can work in the school system, in local government. That's what that is.
Fantastic. Okay. I have a friend working on her MSW right now. And the actual work of helping society is kind of a heartbreaking. I mean, it's enriching, but it'll break your heart when you do an honest assessment of how far away we are from the ideal, you know, from our ideal knowledge of what we know society can be. We've seen pockets of harmonious living. So talk to me. What's been, since you've been studying the vein of social work, have you seen any, what's broke your heart, really, that probably drove you into politics?
Yes. it's going to be a lot. So several things. I was a foster care social worker for about 8 years. And we received kids from Baltimore City here on the Eastern Shore. So the company that I worked for was across the state of Maryland. We had offices in Baltimore out in. Yes, and an office down here on the shore. So our referrals would come from across the state. And so one young man that came across our desk, he had no date of birth. He was found at the age of 2 wandering the streets of Baltimore. They never found his parents. He was adopted, and then his adopted father passed, and so his adoptive mother told him he was adopted at about the age of 10. So from that point on, when they told him he was adopted, he began to search for his identity. So that turned into behavior issues, self-esteem issues. It turned to drugs on the street. It turned from using drugs to selling drugs. So just a completely heartbreaking story where the state pretty much gave him a birthday. They had placed ads, and we did some research too, just trying to find out were there any news clippings maybe 18 years ago of a kid that was found or parents that were looking for kids. So that story in itself has been the one that has completely stuck with me forever, because to not know your birthday, you don't know your parents, who I thought was my parents, are not my parents. So, and you can imagine what is going on in this young man's head on a daily basis. So this is not something you think about today and not for another week. This is something he thinks about every day. And so,
I know a young lady like that. She, same situation. Well, not the drugs and the street stuff, but she was adopted. She was left by her parents. She was adopted. Something happened with her adoption records. And she has no idea how old she is. She has no idea of her name. She has no clue.
Yeah.
None. I'm like, wow.
Definitely, it's rough. And there are some success stories. I had another young man who came. Our young black men. So another young black, and that really has catapulted a lot of the work I do, and we can get into that. But I had another young black man from Baltimore.
You talking about
City, young black guy to come down. Yes. No, you've been doing your research.
Girl, look.
So I'm glad you're doing your research, because that was really some of the catalyst for me, is working in foster care with these young African-American guys and them not having any guidance. The second young guy came out to the shore. He had a hit on his life, but he was a good student. And just kind of got mixed up in the street and things. So we took him down on the shore. He wanted to go in the military. First in the military, gave a hassle about his tattoos and all that, but he passed all the exams with flying colors. So he finally met with a recruiter who got him into the military, and he's gone. Military life, he still communicates with us when he can. So we do have success stories within that. So I'm excited about that, too.
Good. That's what's up. That's what's up. So you started a foundation, a nonprofit, I should say.
Correct.
So tell folks about that,
okay,
and we'll get into your political life.
Okay, so the Key Foundation, that was originally started that we wanted to have a charter school out here on the Eastern Shore. We don't have any charter schools on the Eastern Shore. So what you see in Baltimore City, that's not here on the Eastern Shore. We just have our public school systems and we have our private schools. So we were looking to start a charter school that would be
That's because y'all got money from all them prisons. But go ahead, I'm listening.
I don't know, but yeah. So we were looking to myself and two other gentlemen to start a charter school, and still going through that process now. So we have a board of directors established and fundraising mechanisms in place. It's a 5-year goal to do that. However, in the meantime, what we're doing, we're providing services for young African-American youth. We've done a college tour 2 years now. In that college tour, we go down to North Carolina, and it's during the CIAA tournament. So it's the beginning of March. We do two tours. We do a
look how convenient that is. Oh, yeah, we taking the kids down, y'all.
Look, I haven't been
anybody wants to go?
Down there.
Anybody wants to go? You know, we taking the kids.
Yeah, no. Look, nothing like that. I don't even get close to a party, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And there's bands there that I'm like, man, we got kids with us. But anyway, no, haven't even got close to that. We actually go to the games. Other folks go down there to go to the parties. We actually take the kids to the college tours, and we go to the actual CIAA tournament. You know, we're not there.
I want to volunteer for next year.
Marky's party and all that.
I want to volunteer for next year. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm going to be there for the kids.
I'm going to hold you to that. I'm going to hold you to that. So we're planning.
I'm
going to
be there for the kids.
Right,
Rashi, we're going to the CIAA. We're going to be there for the kids.
All right. I may be the wrong one to get in a cahoot with. Bro, you know, I don't even know what sports y'all talking about. This is sad. I'm sorry.
Basketball. The CIAA is the basketball tournament for.
Okay, all right, I can do it. It goes a little fast for me. I spend half that game trying to figure out who actually got the ball.
Lord
have mercy.
And the only
Lord
school in Maryland that the CIAA is Bowie State. So we've been able to see Bowie State actually win the tournament 2 years ago. Last year they didn't do so well. But that's the only school in the state.
I saw them at Duke.
CIAA.
I saw them at Duke.
Yeah, so at Duke.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the colleges we visited was Duke University. Are you a Dukie?
Mm-hmm.
I got some pictures for you. We were actually able to go in the locker rooms. We were able to go in their media room. When we're at Duke University, and we get private tours,
on the
so
court.
We do the thing with everybody. You played on the court?
I played on the court. Coach K court, I played. I shot balls. I scored. I lost my mind.
I already say that. Did you
really?
Not
even going to lie. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Lost all my right. mind.
So, yeah.
I wanted to ask about, because the leap into politics, that's almost a cliff-like leap, you know, and you really don't know if you're going to land on a small, cushy plateau or if it's going straight into the ocean. So it takes a whole team of people from the vetting and then you have to find your platform and, like, your principles that you – then there's the backstabbing, conniving. Listen, why? Why? Why would you do this to yourself? Why did you do this?
And I say, why not? And if not me, then who? Because for folks to go and believe in you, to actually vote for you, so they have projected me as their leader for this community. And so with that, has been my why. So I was already attending our town council meetings. I was already attending Board of Education meetings. So I was linked in to it anyway, but did not have any desire. Say it again.
Was that a plug for LinkedIn.com? Because you thought I was LinkedIn. You trying to, they bring you a check?
But I am on LinkedIn, but they're not paying me. But yeah, I'm on there. But
it was your public call is what you're saying. You literally had a calling from your community
to engage.
A
call literally from the mayor saying, you know, so and so wasn't going to seek reelection. Are you interested? And I tell folks, it was God, because I was not looking. I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And I was like, wait. I have to have an election. I got to knock on doors. So all that kind of settled in and for the things I needed to do. But we did it, and it was a quick turnaround. I only had 45 days to election day to get this turned around. I was two other candidates had signed in, an African-American female and another Caucasian male. So with that, of course, fear and doubt set in. I'm like, okay, because my community, this county is 81% Caucasian. And
so that was my question?
Yes.
That was my question.
Yep.
I'm going to ask my question, then introduce the other guests. How the hell did you get elected? Okay. Ain't number of white folks out there.
Didn't I just say
that? How the hell did you get elected?
But no, I do have
I think that's white boy lust because you chocolate. They like, ooh, we must
oh
be
my
there.
Goodness. Well, no, I had to go rally the black folks. I had to go rally that 14% to go vote. See, they're gonna go vote. Then what happens when we show up is we get elected.
Okay. I want to bring in. Give me a second. Pause for a cause. I want to bring in Angela Gita. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning, everyone.
Angela.
Good morning.
You know Rashi Donsella is on as well, Mrs. Wilson. And Angela's down in South Carolina doing some things for the Democratic Party down there. So I wanted to bring her on, even though she is a thorn in my side, to uplift the spirit of all these women out here. And I wanted to talk about the rising storm of the coming storm, of women and minorities running for office in general. I'm seeing this crop up all over the place, but let's not forget there is somebody else creeping in on the cold wind as well. And mark my words, that boy O'Rourke down in Texas, if that boy beats Ted Cruz down in Texas, that's our next president. That's our next president. Have you all been paying attention to this boy?
I have not.
No, I haven't either, brother. I've been paying attention to the Kennedy fellow myself. I thought they was going to throw another Kennedy in the chair. He looked a little active.
That boy in Texas, he beat Ted Cruz. That's our next president. He's going to pull a Barack Obama. He's going to get elected this year. He'll run for president next year. He's going to pull Barack Obama. You can see it. They setting that boy up sweet. You can see it. If you ain't seeing that, I don't know what the hell you're looking at. That boy is nasty.
Get on a good note, though, about women taking the storm. I've been noticing a lot of the backlash that Sheree Davis is receiving. Have you all been keeping up with Sheree?
Yes, I've seen that information about her. That was kind of crazy. How that all happened and started taking place. I was very I was surprised that that situation occurred.
Can you go into more depth? Because I think some of us would like to, if you could boil that down to a summary, could you explain, since you all are steeped in the languages and the behaviors of politics, explain what happened and why it was so absurd.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, and I do apologize, I got so much stuff in my head at this point because we have several elections going on down here in South Carolina, where I'm trying to assist with that process. Lee didn't exactly tell you that I'm actually the chair of the county party down here. So that gives me a little bit more insight into what's going on. In that particular situation, if I have it correct, she was the one that was already in the seat and was running for reelection. Is that correct?
Sheree Davis is, I believe she's partially Native American, And the guy, one of a fellow Senate member or something like that, was like, go back to the reservation and all that. And so they had to issue a formal apology and all that. Oh, you know, this is the kind of backlash women receive when they decide they're going to, you know, run for office and fight for any kind of cause that had already been monopolized by one race or one gender, you know.
Okay, I had missed that one, but you are correct. It is a difference when women run versus when men run. It's a lot harder to get volunteers. It's a lot. I don't know. People just, for some reason, don't think that we're capable of winning, even though we've been multitaskers since the beginning of time. They don't support us financially. They don't support us volunteer-wise. For some reason, there is a sense that we don't have the ability to win. Even though
now,
we are.
Now, you just did a project down there, a leadership project, right, in which you had to raise money. How did that go?
That was very interesting. What he's referring to is an offshoot of Emerge America, which is an organization that was started in response to the election of Trump to get more Democratic women trained and running, ready and running for office. And part of our training was to raise part of our tuition. And when I initially sent out the call for support, I didn't get one. I didn't get any response, and all I was asking for was $10. I went through my Facebook contacts and I said, well, this ought to be easy. It's $10. I have, what was it, 300 or 400 friends. If they all just gave a little, you know, if each one, you know, a few here and there gave, then I would easily meet and exceed my goal. And no response. It was I was like, what is this all about? All of y'all will support me. Yes, do the training. Yes, run. Okay, where y'all at?
Oh, didn't I get my money? Because I want to make sure I get my money. Where my money?
Well, you know, somebody had to get a call and a text. I'm just saying.
Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. My money still works.
Yeah, that is one of the one things it's hard to ask for to give. I mean, if you're saying you're turning to, you have to look at the socioeconomic class of your friends list. Not to be funny, but if you're a marginally poor person, all your friends list, most of them gonna be fairly poor people. So it's kind of like asking the people in the boat with you to save you. It's not a feasible tactic.
Well,
in my particular
situation, most of my friends could have wrote a check for my tuition and a small country.
Right, exactly. No, she ain't broke.
More shopping than I was asking for in tuition
Shut
money.
Your mouth.
So,
shut your mouth.
Some of my friends,
shut
that's
your
true.
Mouth. Shut your mouth. You was telling too much today on this morning. You hear me? Lord, shut your mouth. See, this is why I don't like having people want to know me. They throw shots on the low like, oh, yeah, you know, some of them be shopping like that. Oh, really? So you're going to bring my shopping habits to this right there. Okay. No problem.
Well, you know,
no
I
problem.
Wasn't speaking of you, but in the prize.
You know what they say is the hit dog does scream.
So, Donsella, how did you do with raising funds? I mean, how big was your campaign? Do you have a full-fledged staff, volunteers for you?
It was a quicker turnaround than most campaigns. I only had 45 days to get in, so it was really quick to hit. And I completely agree with what the other young lady is saying, that the folks that
Angela.
You think will support you with Angela, with the folks that you mm-hmm. think that will support you were not the ones that supported me. So the people I was like, oh, like Miss Angela said, this would be easy to hit first five friends on my friends list, they would give. And it wasn't that. My support came from outside of the county in which I live in. most of it did. The people I didn't even think that
you got dark
support me. So, and it was a say it again.
You got dark money?
You said, did we have dark money?
Dark? Yeah, did you get dark money?
Not
I mean,
a lot.
Even if she did, no. She couldn't say it. What are you talking about?
She was shook. She was like, oh my God. How do you know about Big Sheen and them?
Of my community.
What is that money from black people? Is that what dark money is? Yes, man.
That's what, yeah. Yes.
What I want to, this is what I want you ladies to.
Money came from without my community.
Call FCC. Call FCC.
I want ladies to know how important it is for black women, extremely mm-hmm. intelligent black women, to take hold of today's politics. I'm a firm believer. I'm a card-carrying member of the sisterhood, which means I absolutely believe in black women. I believe we have the power to actually build and create and save civilizations. And when you all join the political fight, there's going to be an actual statistical, you know, significant statistical difference in, you know, how the money rained down, the levels of corruption, the actual pushing of mandates and regulations, and a lot less of them backroom cigar smoking, handshaking type ordeals. And so I always get excited when I see women in general get into politics, but especially black women, because we already have a whether we earned it or not, it was kind of forced on us. But black women have a come on, let me handle this. Come here, what's wrong, baby? Let me figure this out and handle it type mentality when it comes to family, when it comes to community problems and activities. So to join politics means you guys are going to put that same, you know, ideal-driven behavior and activity into fix. This is the problem. All right, let's do this. My problem is this. Who do you have a team? Who is on y'all's team to make sure that pitfalls like being associated with the wrong organization, like the NRA, or, you know, when you take an NRA check, you take that's some different money, right? I guess that is that dark money, Hundley, the NRA checks. When you get into those associations where you have to take the dark, you know, have to affiliate with people who you don't even necessarily agree with, where is your team? Who do you have to have on your team to make sure you don't fall into the pitfalls? Is there a lawyer? Is there a campaign dude? Like, talk to me. I'd like to ask the young lady out of South Carolina first, please.
Well, for me, it's all in how you build your team. I built my team using people that, well, I'm in the process of building my team because I'm literally rebuilding a party down here. But you have to put some people on there that have extensive connections within the community and kind of have some insight with different sectors and areas. But for the most part, you really don't have anyone to tell you, no, don't do this. You just have to go with your gut and look at what you can and cannot do with that money. And one of the things somebody said to me was, you can take the money. It's what you do with the money that you've taken. So just because it may be from the NRA doesn't mean it can't go to fund some very needed project in your mm-hmm. area or your district. So there's no real cut and dry answer there, I don't think. I think it just depends on the person and what your moral compass is.
Mm. You know, I ain't got no morals, so I watch Maury though, but I ain't got no morals.
No, we ain't doing that. How about the other young lady? What kind of team did you build in order to get to where, you know, into the chair and success? You already said the mayor. Who else is on your team over there?
Yes. So I also have an attorney that I'm linked with, and the attorney is an African-American female who had also been in an elected position in this county. So definitely having somebody with experience in the county that can also look at the legal issues. And then I also have a mentor, me twofold, also being a social worker, then I'm always assessing the ethics of everything that I do. So I also have older gentleman, a mentor social worker. He's actually out of Baltimore City, too, that is that kind of guides me. But it's not your, it's not your personal closest friends and all that. Ha ha.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk later. Uh-huh. We'll talk later. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yep. He's out of Baltimore City who I consult with on issues. And he worked for Baltimore School of Social Work for some time and did some consulting work with them. And now is out on his own. So.
Okay.
And just to follow up on that real quick, that was wonderful. But in the South, so few black women actually choose to run that it's hard, black women and men for that matter, that choose to actually run for office, that bench almost does not exist. So it's really you building those community contacts and really getting to know. That's where I think your research comes in. I know a lot of people get into these positions and don't assume that you have to do any research, but you really do have to have an understanding of what is going on in your area, what are some of the pitfalls just from a moral and ethic that you should avoid or be conscious of when you're doing what you do to try to get elected. And you will have
okay.
to go a little bit outside of your circle.
So, Angela, I have a very poignant question for you because that was a great point. So in your case, in the Deep South, is it then that the traditional organizations, your Urban League, your NAACP, are those resources that potentially can help build that bench? And I understand that they're nonpartisan, but the folks that attend, they make a choice. So is it that you can network there with some of those folks individually, not the organization, but the individuals of the organization, and maybe they could be some of your role players? Is that something that is feasible or no?
I think it is feasible. In my area, unfortunately, those organizations don't have the best standing, and they're trying to do everything they can to keep their standing. But you can get some of the people that are a little bit higher up with the board of directors and things like that that can personally help you or mentor you in certain areas. But you literally just have to build a network. And those people have to be from all walks of life. They have to be black. They have to be Asian. They have to be Hispanic.
You
can't just say, I need all black men, because that ain't going to work for you.
Not at all. I mean, well, that is very limited in general in any enterprise that you elect to partake in, because though we don't want to admit it so much here in America, some folk, we're all connected. So, you know, we all need one another in order for us to get across the finish line, because it's not about the isms, the sexism, the classism, the racism. It really is about the Benjamins. And, you know, as we look at D.C. just this week, when the Democrats bowed to the weight of the Republicans to go back and campaign, these jokers gave up the appointment to Federal Ventures just so they can go back and campaign. You know, so their mindset is, well, if we get in power, then we can eradicate this, but you still got to win, dog. You know, you're giving away power now, hoping that you get it later. Like, yeah, no, I ain't doing that. Lee ain't doing that. But that's what they did in order to get out so they could hit the campaign trail. You know, when not recognizing that the longer they stayed in D.C., it hurts both of them. No, you know, everyone's on the playing field. So you make your decision based off the actions that happen while you're in D.C. versus something I may or may not say or something I may or may not do back in wherever your district is. And these are the things, this short-mindedness of voters in general has hurt us, because I agreed with I was watching a pundit last night, and well, actually, that's a lie. I'm sorry. It was this morning, and they were saying, you know, the turning point to this really was 2010 with the midterms, and, you know, folks stayed home, and they really didn't come out. And, you know, Citizens United came up, and this one, that dark money that I joked about earlier really started flowing. And you had the federal judges, various appointments again. And you know, this thing starts in Congress. The president is a figurehead. It's a nice figurehead, but the president is a figurehead. You need to go out and vote locally. Your local elections matter. The president can push and suggest legislation. The president does not write legislation. The president doesn't pass legislation. The president can veto legislation, but if you got the right people in Congress, they can go over and override the president's veto. That's how this thing works. So, you know, we have to understand what voting is and the power of our votes, you know. But
that's one of the biggest problems that a lot of the Democrats, well, probably both sides face, is that people don't think that the local elections matter.
Right.
And so really we've gotten to the point of telling folks, look, if your trash don't get picked up, you're not calling the president to say my trash didn't get picked up.
There you go.
So when you say it doesn't matter and doesn't affect you, are you going to D.C. when you go down there because your Social Security check didn't come on time? No, you're going to the local Social Security office. But what if all these offices and things are not there? So,
right.
You know, that's one of the messaging that, you know, everybody is trying to shape to remind folks that it starts locally and then it mushrooms up. Not the other way around.
Donsella, I have a question for you. So you're over in Denton, Maryland, correct?
Correct.
All right. What county is that in? Because I do not remember.
It's Caroline County.
Caroline County. Okay. So are you originally from that area?
I'm originally from the Eastern Shore, not this particular county. I'm originally from Queen Anne's County.
Queen Anne's
County.
Yeah.
So when you cross the Bay Bridge, that
I know exactly
where Queen Anne's County is. As you cross the Bay Bridge.
You see what I'm talking about? This is the type, see, Rashi, this is what we talked about earlier. This sassing and, you know, this head nodding and all this. I don't need all this in my
agenda. You're right, sister. He's trying to say, I think he's saying, what? I'm smelling a underlying privilege type conversation. I'm trying to figure out where he's going with this. Me and he, let's hear him out, sis. Let's hear him out. Let's see where he's going with this line of inquiry.
Yes, I know. Like, I'm waiting. Go ahead.
Really? Really? You too?
Hey, sus.
Okay.
I'm sussing, yeah. We sus.
I saw check. Just remember, I saw check. All three of y'all. Just remember that. Thank you very much. Now, let's start this conversation all over again as somebody will run for re-election pretty soon. And think about the person that signs checks. Now, Ms. Wilson.
Oh, goodness.
Are you originally from the Eastern Shore?
Yes.
Can I differ that answer?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So in that dynamic, as you came mm-hmm. up through the years, you know, we're all in the 40 and over crew. What did you see that first off made you say, hey, this is something I could do, want to do? And then now that you're in it, what is it that you want to do?
Okay, and we had touched on that a little bit before Ms. Angela had got on the call, just saying that I was already involved in my community. Mm-hmm. So I was already providing mentor services in the community, providing community outreach, soup kitchens, clothing drives, award ceremonies here on the shore, college tours, conferences for youth. And mm-hmm. so that, I believe, a few of the reasons why just choosing to go ahead and go in. And then now mm-hmm. that I'm here, some of the things that I'm focused on, education, we have huge disparities on the Eastern Shore, like across the state of Maryland, again, with mm-hmm. African-American boys, if you're all familiar with the school-to-prison pipeline. So I sat on a committee with the Caroline County Board of Education, the Equity in Education. And so I'm at Board of Ed meetings, talking to the Board of Ed on the public comment about the disparities, about hiring minority teachers. I've had meetings with the provost of Howard University, Washington College, and looking at the difference in the minority candidates that they're coming and that they have coming to the shore. So I'm directly involved with that link of having minority teachers at different colleges coming to the Eastern Shore. Mm-hmm. Other things I'm involved in is housing, because housing here on the Eastern Shore, as you were insinuating, this good old Eastern Shore, Queen Anne's County is expensive to live in, so folks come over to other counties, Dorchester County and Caroline County. So I'm involved in really watching what housing that we allow to come into our county, not making sure that it's all income-based, because a lot of us don't fit into income-based housing. And income-based mm-hmm. housing, to mm-hmm. me, is really a setup when you're in income-based housing. Because you can go in making $12 mm-hmm. an hour, but how dare you make $12.25 an hour, because now your rent is going up. So that's not necessarily the best situation for our county either. So I would think okay. housing and education is the main things I'm focusing on now.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted you to reiterate that platform, because I thought it did get lost in translation now that the disturber mm-hmm. came on. Wanted to make sure that that was clear. So Angela, a.k.a. the disturber, as you build that bench down there in South Carolina, what's on your dream board? You know, obviously you and your team, want some Democrats elected locally, right? But what's that big dream? You want to go for the gubernatorialship, the mayoralship?
Well, for me, I'm actually looking at a U.S. Senate seat.
Okay.
One of the things that we consistently see in my county is most of the seats are dominated by white and male.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any other representation. We have one, the county council actually only has one African American, and it's a male, and he is not running for reelection. And so now the question becomes, what's going to happen to that seat?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have a bench.
Have you primed anybody?
No.
Lord have mercy.
And that's the other thing. As African Americans, we don't feel like it's our problem. We don't want to do anything. We don't want to upset the apple cart. And we just feel like, oh, no, that's not something I can do. You know, they see a lot of the things on TV, and sometimes it does get a little nasty. It just depends on the candidates and how far they're willing to go. But they just take the it's not my problem approach, or what I've been doing is what I'm comfortable in, so I don't want to step outside that comfort zone and try to maybe move to a higher level. And I think that that's disheartening. But what I saw when I decided to get into politics was I saw a few things. I saw that we have a lot of our leaders that through the natural process is aging. So mm-hmm. that wisdom is going to be lost. And they're going to be gone because at some point they're going to say, look, deuces, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to go play with my grandkids. I'm going to go just sit on the porch and drink me some iced tea or whatever. And mm-hmm. that was going to be gone.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I saw
that. It looks like Congressman Claiborne is quite aged, and so is Mr. Matthews. Yes, you're right. The whole top tier there and a couple in the second are – They're going to be retiring very soon.
And really, a lot of them are still in their seats, not because they just loving their job. It's because they want to keep it democratic, and they're waiting on somebody to step up.
But I disagree with that. I think that they're in their seats because they have refused to train anybody up to take their seats, you know, because – In this society in which we are given very little power as men, especially as men of color, when we get some power, it's very difficult for us to give that up, to be honest with you. So it's but it's necessary. So you have to always have it in your mind and then put it in the people's mind that this is the natural successor. It's like Coach K down at Duke University, which we spoke on earlier, when Johnny was sitting next to him, everybody saw Johnny as the natural successor to Coach K because he was there. He made decisions. Coach K let him be on camera, making decisions, drawing out plays. People were ready for that transition. When he left, it was like, okay, who's next? And other people have left. But you put those folks that you're training in the spotlight, give them the opportunity to lead, give people the opportunity to see them making comments on your behalf, so on and so forth, so that when you decide to sit down, people say, well, he's going to run, I'll vote for him, I've already seen him or her, you know, do this, that, and third, I feel confident in them, bam. And we don't want to do that. That's very difficult to do as a man, just to, you know, to go from quasi the king of the castle to just a joke on and in the debt. Like that's tough. It's very tough. And I can't speak for you all, but I see that locally all the time. You know, Angie, you spoke to your NAACP and Urban League troubles in Baltimore. We got all kinds of problems, but we got old people running. We got old people who never trained anybody to take their spot, who were never willing to train anybody to take their spot. I got in Doc Cheatham's ass about that. It's like, Doc, you need to train somebody to take your spot. Well, I don't see anybody. Dude, that's BS, man. That's BS. There's plenty of brothers out here. Hell, you could have talked to me. You never even once talked to me. You never even want to talk to me. You never say, hey, Lee, let me talk to you for a minute. Really? No. And this was when he was the president. He left. A sister came up. Tessa came in. Tessa Hill came in. Tessa got kicked out. Doc took it over again. Really? Really? And still, nobody. It's about building that bench and understanding that you are not worthless just because you aren't calling all the plays. You know what I'm saying? It really is. Just allow your ego to be and kept in check. But when the egos get into it, that power gets into it, it's like, well, you still have the same connections? Everybody still knows you. You still the man. I'm not going to be the man. If I took the seat today, I wouldn't be the man until 5-10 years from now because everyone's still going to try to fill me out. Like, I'm waiting for this joker to flip. I got to see what this joker do. They still won't go to you for the first 3 to 5 years. Easy. It's going to take me 5-10 years to win their confidence over. Easy.
I don't think it's a matter of winning confidence, but what the lady said earlier, if you're going to take the money, you got to use it right. They're waiting on you to make affiliations and associations that are going to compromise your principles. Because that's where all the rest of the people, that's the behavior of people who don't care and are lining themselves up to just build a network to be powerful. I really don't understand it completely, so I can't speak to it. But if you're not there to make a difference, say you said the sister said she in the housing, right? If there's more homeless people in her county after her tenure than it was before, then she didn't do what she was supposed to do. And part of that is planning for, you know, disasters, things that you can't even control. If you don't do the work, it's up to the people to unseat you and put somebody else in the chair. It's not up to you to find your successor, because the ideals and principles that you're working with, they either still remain and you didn't fix it, or you fixed it and it's time for the next person to work the next problem. There is no excuse for sitting on that power seat for any reason. You either fixed it or you didn't. Either way, get up and move.
Yeah, but that's part of the problem is the people are not picking because they don't care or they don't think it, you know, it impacts their universe or their world. They're just sitting back waiting on someone else to do it. And that's where I think the problem, what has allowed this situation to fester, is because, you know, African Americans are not coming out to vote. We're not staying on top of the issues. We don't even know what the issues are. We know what our issue is, and that seems to be all we're concerned about is what am I doing in my situation and not how that impacts anybody else, not realizing that your situation is not unique and it is very much a situation that multitudes of people have. And maybe if y'all came together, y'all could figure out a solution.
Well, I'm sure there's no one, right, solution.
What solutions?
I just want to understand better why people allow. I mean, I feel like I'm a victim of this here. We have a senator, I mean, a guy here, Emmanuel Cleaver. The gentleman has been here in Missouri so long. When we put him in the chair, and I'm going to say that would be the generation before me, they just thought he was going to come through here and erase the color lines and pray everybody into a harmonious Missouri. And he don't do nothing about the kids getting shot. He don't do nothing. It's just like, and when you ask people to go against Mayor Cleaver, they say, you don't love Jesus or you don't love God? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, because he's a pastor. And so he literally prayed himself into the chair. And I'm thinking, like, Jesus recoming, the recoming of Jesus is going to get him out. It's not there. Because the generation that put him in the chair is still there. They still vote. But the people who need him to actually do stuff, they can't get their mama to stop voting for him. You hear?
But they would not know about how their mama voted if they voted.
But they votes cancel each other out, and he just stays sitting in the chair like a holy demon.
All right, couple of things before we wrap up, because, you know, we're going a little long. And I don't want to get it boring. So, I'm gonna start with Donsella. Do you see a wave coming? That's the first part. And what do you think it's going to look like if and when it comes?
And the first part, and it seemed like I might have went out, but you said, "Do I see a wave?"
Do you see a wave coming?
Think?
What do you think things will look like if and when it comes?
Okay, and I do see a wave coming, and we've had some turnaround. Like we have Mr. Andrew Gillum down in Florida that's running for governor, and looking at him, we've had Ms. Keisha Bottoms down in Atlanta running for mayor. We now have the young lady, I believe it's up in Michigan, another African-American female, and definitely agreeing with what has already been said. I only want to back up 1 second to the NAACP comments, because that is a issue across the state. We have the same issue. We have older folks in control, and and they don't want to relinquish that control, and for the NAACP too, and have not been a resource for me. So, and that has been disheartening, that that is where I should have been accepted and grabbed, and where I felt and nurtured in, and all of those good things, but it wasn't. And I've been a member of this NAACP for about 3 years, so definitely disheartened there. But anyway, but I do feel like this wave is coming, and if it's not with this primary coming up, 2020, there would definitely see some changes, because people stayed home the last votes when Hillary was running and all that. So hopefully now we can drive people back to the polls.
Okay. What do you think is going to look like?
That demon of a man is making toddlers want to vote. You don't have to worry.
Exactly.
My son is 11. He asked me if he could vote because he's tired of people.
If he can vote, exactly, exactly. And my son is 18, and that's the group I rallied to go vote for me, because they were kind of looking like, I don't know what's going on, but they were able to vote. And that's where it's at, our 18-year-olds. Our millennials who are saying they're not for a lot of this. I do a lot of race conversations and things in my county, and Caucasian kids, African-American kids are not accepting of what's going on, because they've seen an increase in bullying in school behind a lot of this. So they're not for it too. So like you said, 11-year-olds want to vote, but we definitely just got to make sure we are rallying people to the polls this election and continuously, not just when it's about to be the election in 2010. This is a continuous process through these next 2 years to get people registered and to keep talking about elections and to keep having forums, even with our candidates that are already elected. We still have to be called out, still have to be held accountable, that it's not just because it's election season, you're showing up at candidate forums. So, and I always put up for my community, has these candidates been on your block? Have they walked your street? Have they knocked on your door? And if not, that's not who you want to vote for.
That's not who you want to vote for. Absolutely. Absolutely. Angela, what do you think? You think the wave is coming, and what do you think things will look like once it, if and when it comes?
I'm not really so sure that I'm convinced that the wave is coming. As we are going out and canvassing and whatnot, I'm still seeing people and hearing people say, well, it doesn't really matter, or my vote doesn't count, or nothing's going to change. And so I'm not sure that there's going to be a blue wave. I am hopeful that there will be, because I see a lot of potential candidates that would really change the way things are going, but they got to get there first. And we have got to stop, you know, sitting on the sideline and saying, well, somebody else will get to it and be the change that we want to see. It's really that simple. I mean, that's very
cliché,
but that's where we are. And it's, and until I can see that attitude, I'm not sure we're going to have a blue wave. Because the other side, I can promise you, is already gearing up. They're already 10 years ahead of us in the planning process. While we're trying to look at this election, they're looking at 4 elections ahead. So,
see, here's the thing that I think. You know, it's very possible that Trump will win again, because he's pandering to that base, but that's a solid base.
Oh, baby.
That's a solid 30-35%.
So he don't want that job.
I know he doesn't, but if you go out here and you get this fight again between the independents and the Democrats, which was basically the Bernie and Hillary fight, if those Bernieites still feel burnt and decide to stay home, then you have an opportunity for Trump to once again win re-election. Mm-hmm. Now, because that solid 30%, 35%, 38% beats a broken 32 to 38. You know, that's tough. You know, you get 33 on this end, get 37 on that end, and he still has 38 trumps 37. You know what I'm saying? Like, all those folks with the voting for their dogs or voting for, you know, Chance the Rapper or whomever, like, we don't need that. Like, sit your ass home and no. We don't need your protest votes, dog. We need you to vote for one of the candidates that's in the parties that are actually running. Now, do we need to go away from this two-party system? Absolutely. It is killing us. Electoral College, killing us. Forever appointments to the bench, killing us. Literally killing us, because these jokers are adjudicating these cases and they are allowing shit to happen that shouldn't happen. But until we make a stand, until we put in folks who, no matter party, support our positions, that's what we get. You know, and that is what we will continue to get. So the most pressing thing on my mind at this moment, to be honest with you, is the Stacey Abrams, look at me, I'm thinking about shopping already, that's a damn shame, and Brian Kemp fight down in Georgia, because, you know, this cat is the Secretary of State down there, and he has this program in which I believe it's called Positive Match. So my last name is Vaughn, and most people spell it wrong. They don't spell it the way I spell it. So if my name, I write out, which I tend to do, and people still type it wrong, which they tend to do. Even if I spell it to them, they still type it wrong. My application for voter registration would be rejected because it doesn't match my actual given name. And he's sitting on voter registration applications because of that. And that shit ain't cool at all, because it happens. You know, you could be green with an E, but so many people are spelling green without the E. You know, but you're still, your last name is still Green. Yeah, LaToya, Keisha, there's all kinds of names that can be spelled a multitude of ways. Sammy, with a Y, with a I. That's still your name, but someone spelled it wrong. But because they don't perfectly match, your application for voter registration is being rejected. Well, not being rejected, being held by him until further investigation can happen. And this so happens to be going on while he, too, is running for governor of the state. And you want that Georgia. That's
well, here's
the
problem. Well, I guess because most of Georgia is black, I think. I want you to say, once you get out of Atlanta, it gets a little iffy.
Most of Georgia is black. Yeah.
It say most of these votes are black votes.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. The ones that he's holding.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ones that he's holding, yeah.
But, see, that's where I have the problem, because why wasn't he advised to take a leave of absence when he's sitting in a seat that could have so much impact over the election?
Which most folks have, which most prior Secretary of State who have run for the gubernatorialship of Georgia have done. They have stepped away until the race was over. He refuses to do so. He refuses to do so. So, again, how do you sit back and allow that to happen? You know, this is the guy that you want. You want him to be the judge, the jury, and the executioner. That's the guy you want to send to the governor's mansion. Like that? That ain't cool at all. But right now, these are the choices that they have, and the opportunity for change is there. I just hope that the folks in the great state of Georgia take that opportunity and run with it. All right? Ladies, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you both. I'm going to go from first to last, since your ass is late, Angela. You will go last. Dantella, are there any closing comments? You know, how do people get in touch with you if they need you? Are you going to be the Cory Booker? Are you on Twitter heavy? Like, hey, you need snow removed. I'm on your block with a shovel. Or is that you?
Wilson.
Is that the situation?
No, I'm not.
We can hit you up.
Yes, you can find me on every other social media outlet, Dantella Wilson, on Facebook, on Twitter. I'm sorry, I am not on Twitter actively. I get on there all, but I'm not active on Twitter. No, I'm on there, and I have not tweeted in months. So, no, I'm not active on Twitter.
Are you on
the
gram?
I'm on the gram, and I'm on LinkedIn.
You on the gram.
Is where I spend most of my time.
Here we go again with this LinkedIn ad commercial. Jeez, and crackness.
So, no other closing comments except that to keep organizing people to go vote through the election. It does not stop November 6th because, as we know, we still may have, like our governor here in Maryland, we will probably still have Governor Hogan after this primary election. So just still to encourage people to just keep community
organizing.
Ain't
nothing wrong with Hogan. Hogan came in and he spread the money out. Hogan came in and he spread the money out. He gave enough money for everybody to shut the hell up. He ain't dumb. Ain't no wrong with
Hogan.
That boy
County, okay? He's always on the Eastern Shore and here in Caroline County. So he has completely come to the Eastern Shore more than any other governor in Maryland. So with that alone, the votes here will definitely get him back in because people here on the Eastern Shore adore Governor Hogan.
Okay. Cool. Angela?
Well, it's Angela Jeter with the G, G-E-T-E-R. You can reach me on all the social medias, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and by email, Angela, L as in Larry, Jeter, at gmail.com. I just want everybody to get informed, get out and vote. Here in South Carolina, we have a very tough governor's race. We're trying to unseat a Trumpeteer in McMaster and get a veteran and family man, James Smith, elected. We're also trying to fill Trey Gowdy's seat from the 4th Congressional with a brother, Brandon Pandora's Brand. And so we're trying to do everything we can to flip those seats blue because they hadn't been blue in some time. So I need everybody to get informed and get out the vote.
Okay. Well, I want to say personally thank you for your efforts and being a cog in the big wheel of change, to be honest with you, in that machine. And I do support both of you. Again, I appreciate your time this morning. We ran a little long, but still, it was worth it. The conversation was great, and the information needed to get out there. So thank you, ladies. Have a great day. I will talk to you both soon.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
Thank you, ladies.
Rashi, these folks try to kick me out. These folks,
hey, man, you can't go up against the women who've already gone against the system. These people are tackling long-term systemic white oppressive dominion. You think they can't mow over your little self? These women are doing real work. I mean, they flipping counties, not keys. Come on.
Real, right? I like that. They flipping counties, not keys. That's hot. Might need to use that in the campaign slogan. But yeah, I need to get out of here. Get your money on that too.
Yeah, hell, get my money in almost any deal. Shit.
You stupid. Hey, sis, thank you so much. Family, thank you all so much for joining us this morning. Again, the election is, 3 weeks away? 3 weeks away. Yeah, we are there, family. So I hope you are primed and ready to exercise your right to vote. We hope that you get out to the polls. We will continue to press and push and provide you with as much information as we can to have you and help you make the best decision that you can. When you go out there, press that button, pull that lever, or fill in that circle, whatever it is that you do where you are. But until next week, you all be safe, you all be good, and we'll see you on the other side.
Hey!